Dan Gannon. We receive support from Edward Jones Financial Advisor Christina Gallas, helping individuals and business owners.
Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
This is American Roots from New Orleans. We'll go up the Mississippi to another great river city of music, Memphis. Known for rhythm and blues, gospel, soul, and roots rock and roll. On this visit, we'll listen to the work of producer and arranger Willie Mitchell, heard here on trumpet, on the 1967 session, Willie Wham. Mitchell produced for High Records and led the high rhythm section at his Royal Recording Studios in Memphis. Mitchell worked with singer Don Bryant, backed by rhythm section players Charles Hodges and later Hubby Turner. They'll share their stories of making the music at home, in clubs, and in the studio. The artist who put High Records on the map was Al Green, who we'll speak with later in the show. But right now, let's get started with Reverend Green singing 1971 for High Records, Tired of Being Alone on American Roots.
It's gonna take to keep up. what it's gonna take to keep love.
The late Denise LaSalle, What It Takes to Get a Good Woman, 1973, with Willie Mitchell producing and High Rhythm's Charles Hodges on organ backing her up. Denise grew up in a sharecropping family near Greenwood, Mississippi. She moved to Chicago in the 1960s as a teen and got into R&B. The song was written by O.B. McClinton, a black country singer from Memphis who wrote R&B songs for James Carr, among others. One of the most influential Memphis musicians was pianist John Len Chapman, better known as Memphis Slim, born in 1915. Slim worked as a session player for Bluebird Records in Chicago, but he honed his skills in the honky-tonks of West Memphis, Arkansas. Memphis is the county seat of Shelby County, and this is Shelby County Blues, 1941, Memphis Slim on American Roots.
That's where I long to be. My home is Shelby County. That's where I long to be. Well, I got women down there. Because she won't write me no letter, or Ali won't send no word. Played a long time, boy. Cause I'm going back to old Shep if I don't stay but a day. Every trip of the tray, you find Mr. Grinder speaking to you this way, known as Memphis Slim. Sometime my kid gal gets so buggy, she can hardly keep it hidden.
Everybody Knows, The River Song, 1965, sung by O.V. Wright. O.V. got his start in gospel, but once he made the switch to R&B, he was a huge hit in the clubs and on airwaves across the South. Everybody Knows was written by Roosevelt Jameson, a music impresario in Memphis who discovered both James Carr and O.V. Wright. This American Roots is about Memphis voices and music. The High Rhythm Section began as brothers and friends, the Hodges brothers, Teenie on guitar, Leroy bass, and Charles on organ, joined by Howard Grimes drums and Hubby Turner on piano. The brothers grew up in a musical family. They joined their father's blues band, the Germantown Blue Dots. Hubby Turner's mother was married to producer Willie Mitchell and was friends with the Hodges brothers, who all became Willie Mitchell's band. In the late 60s, when Mitchell moved from playing clubs to producing in studios, they changed their name to High Rhythm Section. We had a chance to sit down with friends Reverend Charles Hodges and Hubby Turner to talk about working in the studio with Papa Willie Mitchell. After playing a high school talent show, Reverend Hodges started out on the road with Memphis soul singer O.V. Wright.
I had to bag him up because his guitar player didn't show up. So I knew his songs, and I played his songs. That was on a Friday night, and on a Monday, I was like a star out at my school. That night, he said, when you get out of school, I want you to go on the road with me. I said, okay, right. Sure enough, a couple of years later, he comes down to Flamingo Room. That was one of the clubs that all the main acts worked at. Willie Mitchell, Gene Bowlegs, Miller, some of all the big bands. He come in and... He said, are you Charles Hodges? Because I can't see because we're on stage, we're rehearsing, they have the lights on. And I said, yeah. I said, who are you? He said, O.V. Wright. I said, yeah, right. Just like that. So his cousin was the manager of the group that I was playing with. He said, yes, it is. I said, that's O.V. So he comes on in, and I see him. I said, oh, man, okay. He said, are you out of school yet? I said, yeah, I'm out. So he said, well, you ready to go? I said, go where? He said, I'm getting ready to go to Macon, Georgia. I got to perform there on Friday night. That was on a Wednesday night. Well, I said, I don't know. I'm confused now. I talked with the group, and they gave me their blessings, told me to go ahead on, man, you know, said, hey, you got a chance. So he said, do you have a car? I said, no. He said, where you live? You still live in Germantown? I said, yep. He said, well, come on. He said, I'll take you out there. So we go home, and my mom and dad, the only two sitting up in the living room when I get there. And my dad said, I thought you was at rehearsal. I said, I was. I said, but this is O.V. Wright. I said, he brought me home. He wanted me to go on the road with him. When I said O.V. Wright, my mom jumped up and started hollering and screaming.
Let me ask you this. When you were playing in some of those clubs around there, I mean, could you set the scene? The Flamingo Club, the Tiki Club, what were those places like?
Oh, man, they was tremendous. I mean, it was a source of our income, for one thing, in high school. Mm-hmm. And, man, we was back then, a loaf of bread was like, what, 25 cents? Right. We made $100. We was rich.
That's a lot of bread.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway, the clubs, they were on every, you know, Beale Street, man, it was all been down Beale Street. My grandfather lived on Beale Street, right behind mm-hmm. the New Daisy Theater. So when I was a kid, he used to take us down there all the time. I was too young to play then, but I was influenced by all the musicians. Like the famous piano player.
Memphis Slim?
Yeah, Memphis Slim. Yeah. All of them was working on Beale Street during that time. So I was influenced by listening to all those sounds. And my grandfather stayed right next to the New Daisy. So I was right in the heart of everything, you know.
That's a good spot to be.
Yeah. Then we had other clubs like over there by Stax Records, clubs like the Tiki Club. Willie had the Manhattan Club, which was Elvis Presley's favorite hangout. During the early days of Graceland, before Graceland was Graceland, that was his favorite spot. This was an all-white club in the heart of a black neighborhood. It was just coming there all the time, you know. He always wanted Willie to play for his parties.
Right. You know?
And I was going to school, a Catholic school, right up the street from the nightclub. Willie would go out of town. By that time, Horace and myself, Teeny and Leroy, we always take Willie's place when he would leave town at the Manhattan Club. So I'd be up all night, time for me to go to school about 8 o'clock. So I'd just stay on up. And back then, we was like wearing tailor-made suits. So I would go to school all sharp and clean. And Nan said, boy, where you coming from this time of morning? All sharp. I said, Sister Mary, I just got off from work. She said, where you work at? I said, I work at the nightclub up the street. Boy, get in there, get your nap. You're going to be playing for some of these school functions around here. She said, by the way, who did you play for tonight? I said, Elvis Presley. Her eyes got almost buzzed out of her head, you know. From then on, I had a reputation in school. You know, everybody knew I was a musician.
As the day comes to an end. What was it like dealing with Elvis?
Oh, man, it was cool, man. I mean, this club stayed open from 9 to 4 in the morning, several nights a week. That was Papa Willie's main club that he played. When he would leave and come back off the road, he'd come straight back to the band club. So it means he had to always have people to take his place. So we was the prime people. He taught us so well that we was able to take his place. Seven nights a week, 9 to 4 in the morning. So Elvis booked the club this particular night. And we all excited after Willie told us, look, I ain't going to be able to play for Elvis this particular weekend because I'll be going out of town. And you guys got it. We said, what? He said, yeah, y'all going to be playing for Elvis. Oh, man. We all hyped up. So we go start playing around 9 o'clock. Elvis hadn't showed up yet. So he, about midnight, I guess he pulled up on one of these old Indian head motorbikes. Yeah. First thing he did was walk over to the band. And I was playing this old upright piano. And he came over to me. So I don't know why he kind of beamed in on each other. He pulled out a $100 bill. He said, this is for the band. He tipped the band $100 that night. I've been an Elvis fan ever since.
Come on, send her back to
Elvis Presley with a Doc Pomus song, Night Rider, 1961. Pianist Hubby Turner from the High Rhythm Section shared his memories of encounters with the King, Elvis Presley, at Willie Mitchell's Manhattan Club in Memphis. We'll hear more sounds and stories from High Records, including one about working on Al Green's early sessions when American Roots returns.
It's KAXE. We'll get you right back to more from American Roots. I'm Malachi Coons. We receive support from Woodworks Homes, dedicated to the art of building in northern Minnesota by constructing handcrafted new homes and offering remodeling services. More at woodworksmn.com. Donating stocks and mutual funds is a quick, easy way to defend KEXE from funding cuts. You may receive tax benefits as well. Call Sarah for details at 218-326-1234. Kootaska Community Action offers free lunch every Wednesday from 11 to 1 at their Circles of Support office, located across from Treasure Bay Printing on Northeast 4th Street in Grand Rapids. They also offer a food pantry from 11 to 2, Monday through Thursday. Tomorrow, you can take part in a community read-in at the Bemidji Public Library from 5 to 6 p.m. Gather to read quietly together, demonstrate support, and celebrate the library. Let's get you back to more from American Roots right now. Keep it right here on KAXE.
This is American Roots. It's our visit with organ player Reverend Charles Hodges and pianist keyboardist Hubby Turner of Memphis High Rhythm Section. The two players call each other brothers, even though they aren't related. It's how they feel about each other. But Reverend Hodges did have two actual brothers in the group, Teeny and Leroy Flick Hodges. Those older brothers played bass and guitar. Rounding out the group was drummer Howard Grimes. Charles Hodges' entry into the group at Willie Mitchell's Royal Recording Studios began with skepticism on the part of his brother, Teeny.
Willie started talking to Teeny. Teeny said, Charles don't know how to play no piano. He hadn't heard me. Willie told us, yes, he can. So he said he's killing him out there. So Willie had a piano player named Joe Hall. And Joe Hall was messing up. So Willie had Teeny to go get me a couple of times. I came down, Joe shows up. So Willie pulls me in a corner, says, okay, Joe showed up, I'm going to let him go ahead and play. He said, but be at my house on Tuesday night, and we're going to rehearsal. He said, you got the job. I said, I don't feel right about that. I said, I don't want to call nobody, you know, lose their job. Willie said, hey, if you don't take it, somebody going to take it. He fired. So I said, okay, I'll take the job. So now, it's coming up to Hubby coming in. Hubby's getting out of the military. Flick is glad, Teeny is glad, everyone is happy, even Don Bryant. Willie says, what part is Hubby going to play? See, because I was playing mostly piano, and then I got a keyboard. But anyway, Hubby going to play piano. Willie said, Hubby ain't going to act right. Hubby's not going to act right. I said, well, Willie, can't nobody beat him playing piano. Teen and Flick was agreed with me. That's how Hubby got in the group.
Yeah, I was a rock and roller. Yeah. I wanted to play rock.
Yeah, see, Hubby liked it to synthesize and all that type stuff. But Willie wanted the piano. I said, Willie, can't nobody beat him playing piano. So he said, okay, I'm going to give him a chance. He said, but if he, you know, Willie had choice words, he's gone. So we'll handle him. When Hubby got in, he did want to kind of do the little fly stuff. So we just had to pull him over to the side and say, look here, Hubby, we got our necks on the line here. Play the piano. Like I said, we're brothers. Hubby just looked at us and said, okay, I do the piano.
When I got with the band, I suggested that, hey, man, you guys been recording Al Green, it's fine, Otis Clay. Why don't we do something on our own as a rhythm section?
Right.
So we decided to cut the High Rhythm album.
On the Loose.
On the Loose. I was anxious to use a synthesizer, but Papa wasn't into synthesizers that much. So that was the opportunity to put the rhythm section together using the ARP 2600 synthesizer.
Right. We changed our name from Willie Mitchell because there wasn't no Willie Mitchell's band. It was Willie Mitchell. When Willie left, then we formed High Rhythm. That was Teeny, Hubby, Flick, that's Leroy, Howard Grimes, and myself. And that's how High Rhythm was born.
How too soon they forget how they became a superstar. To get away, you had to come very far. It's the same old story. There's so many times.
I wonder, Reverend Hodges, if you could tell me about some of the parts you've played. I mean, you played the big B3 organ on Al Green's Love and Happiness.
Now, that's another story. We was working on this song this particular night. So Al Jackson Jr. and Willie's in the control room. It's not coming together. I'm on piano. Hubby's on piano. No one on organ. So Willie said, okay. So okay, y'all. Let's call it a night. Said, we'll come back 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to cut this song. So when we get there, we start to work the song up again. I says, I know the problem. He said, what? I'm on the wrong instrument. I said, I need to be on organ. He said, you think so? I said, yep. He said, well, yeah, let's go over there and do it. So we go back to the studio, and when we get in the studio, I crank the B3 up. And Willie and Al hear that organ cranking up. Say, hey, child, what are you doing? Get back over on piano. We're getting ready to cut this song. I said, let me try the organ. Willie said, no, man, get back on the piano. Say, it's sounding good. So Al said, hey, the man want to try the organ. Let him try the organ. Well, he said, go ahead and get it on. So I get the organ on. So he said, let me hear a little bit of it. I let him hear a little bit of it. He said, okay, y'all go ahead and count it off.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
So when we do that run, or yada, when we come to the something going wrong, someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, yop. Well, they say, oh, stop. Stop. That's it. The rest is history.
Love and happiness. Love and happiness.
Al Green, 1972, recorded at Memphis's Royal Recording Studios for High Records. Keyboardist Reverend Charles Hodges told us that the count-off at the top of the song was actually his brother Teeny hitting an old wooden Coca-Cola bottle crate. We got a couple more of many great songs involving Willie Mitchell as producer with members of the High Rhythm Section, beginning with singer Syl Johnson from Holly Springs, Mississippi, and later Chicago. It's the title track from his first album for High Records, 1973, and went to number 16 on the R&B charts. Back for a Taste of Your Love on American Idol.
together and we started talking. Passing Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. No matter how hard I try, when he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He kissed and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.
A beloved, familiar, sexy song. I'm sure you all know. Son of a Preacher Man, 1969. The late Dusty Springfield from her Dusty in Memphis LP. A reminder that even though it was not a High Stax or even Sun Records production, Memphis was and is a mythic musical sound and destination. Preacher Man was produced by Jerry Wexler, Tom Dowd, and Arif Martin for Atlantic Records. The songwriters were John Hurley and Ronnie Wilkins. Dusty's voice tracks were added back in New York City. Before that, Too Many Hands, 1972, the late Chicago R&B and gospel singer Otis Clay from Waxhaw, Mississippi, a Willie Mitchell production written by Teenie Hodges, his brother Charles Hodges, on organ. And we are back with our final conversations with members of the High Rhythm Section and Memphis Blues and Soul Songs when American Roots returns.
That was Jim Miller doing Alligator Man at a 1978 Known Only Locally concert for KAXE. I'm Christy Miller, and I've been a member since 1977, and with husband Jim Miller, Gary Brusty, and Miriam Tell, Known Only Locally played many benefit concerts through the decades. I strongly urge you to donate to this people-powered radio station. We absolutely must keep KAXE, KBXE going. That's all there is to it. Text DONATE to 218-326-1234. Or go online to KAXE.org.
Thanks and good night.
Thank you. We'll see you at the Jack Pine Jamboree next Monday.
I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots, continuing our conversation with Reverend Charles Hodges and Hubby Turner of the High Rhythm Section, talking about making soul music in Memphis. I asked the Rev and Hubby their feelings about working with Willie Mitchell and what they learned from their time in the studio as the High Rhythm Section.
It was the greatest.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic, man. I cannot put enough emphasis on it, how much I learned from him. Like, for instance, if I'm playing a song, I'm playing the right chords. He said, "Hey, Charles, how you voicing it?" He said, "Wait a minute, let me come out there." So he would come out in the studio, and I would show him how I voiced the chord. And he said, why don't you try it like this, you know, spread it out. He was a master in chords. And that's how you hear all those big chords in Al Green records and the rest of the records. Willie taught me how to do those things. I just love working with him. I couldn't hardly wait to get at the studio the next day because I knew it was going to be something different. And we got to the point, Hubby, Howard, Flick, Tina, and myself, we got so close. We thought we were close in the beginning, but during that Willie Mitchell era, we really found out who we were, and I could depend on Hubby to do something. He could depend on me to do something. Didn't know what, but whatever we did, it came together and seemed like it was just rote. It was just a match from heaven that brought that music together. Willie had a big role in that, but we had to play it.
Only me and the good Lord knows. Na 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 na. I want you to know you're the one. Wow, ain't nobody in the world but you. I want you to treat me right.
Yeah, well, you know, during the early days, Pops would always, he was on the road, and every time he would come home, he would teach me chords on the piano and different things I should learn. I already knew naturally how to play the keyboard, but when it comes to charts and stuff like that and reading music, Papa Willie, that was his thing, you know. He would put the charts together, and you had to learn what a B7, B minor 9, you got to know all these chords, because he would drop all these chords on us. He would take time and teach me all this stuff, so. And I really appreciate what he did, because it carried me a long ways down the road.
About the soul, when we're talking about soul, it's a feeling. It's not something that you can write and someone can read it off of a piece of paper to put in a song. If you don't feel it, it's just music.
Yeah, it's like when you feel it, it makes other people react.
Right. What comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Yeah.
And that's why we were so successful. We did 26 gold and platinum records in a row at High Studio. But it was because of Hubby, Howard, Leroy, and myself, the rhythm section. We loved each other, and we made the job easy and simple for the horn players, for the strings, and the voices. So they felt it, so that's how you get what you got.
Get on up. Let yourself go. Get on up.
Phil Johnson, the Chicago R&B and blues singer. On his second album for Hi Records and producer Willie Mitchell, Let Yourself Go, 1974, with our guests Hubby Turner on piano and Reverend Charles Hodges on organ from the high rhythm section. Coming up next hour, our historic interview with Al Green and singer-songwriter Don Bryant, who we've heard a bit of this hour on early songs. Don has still got it going with a recent record, and this one from 2017 called Don't Give Up on Love, backed by the original High Rhythm Section. It's a song written by John Paul Keith and Scott Beaumont. One ain't enough, and two's too many on American Roots.
Listen to me, fellas, if you're running around trying to love ladies all over town, you're gonna get in trouble. Believe me when I say, boy, I had to learn this thing the old-fashioned way. If you got $1 million, boy, you ain't got a penny. One ain't enough, and two's too many. Ladies, I'm talking to you too. Got a man in Memphis and West Memphis too. You tell one thing, the other something else. Take it from me, baby, you're gonna wreck yourself. Some people want it all when they already got plenty. One ain't enough, and two's too many. About you can't get too much of what you can't live without. I found myself a good thing, I found myself some more. I found myself knocking back on my baby's door. Jack had a Jill till she heard about Jenny. One ain't enough, and two too many.
On the radio, it's American Roots.
of beauty. You can stand the test, so yes you can. When they talk about making love, baby, you're the best, so yes you are. I don't want to brag about you too much and give others ideas, but I'm trying hard to express myself.
That's What Love Will Make You Do, written and sung by blues guitarist Little Milton, 1971, backed by the Bar K's and recorded for Stax Records, a reminder that there is so much to hear in Memphis music. Go to our website, AmericanRoots.org, to find programs about Sun Records, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Rufus Thomas, Booker T and the MGs, Stax Records, and much more. And next hour, we go deep and historic with Al Green and get up to date with singer Don Bryant. Our program is produced in collaboration with Tulane University's School of Liberal Arts and underwritten by the National Endowment for the Arts. This is American Roots from PRX, Public Radio Exchange.
Wrapping up our first hour of American Roots, we are bringing you another one in just a moment here on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. At 89.9 in Brainerd and on your smart speaker, we are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at kaxe.org. Janet Florine will be around the river host at 1 o'clock today. We've got Shiro's at 3, the history of jazz with Paul Kivi at 4, and stay human.